Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Today we're going to talk about your mind. Had a couple of Bible studies on this subject already, and it's just crucial that we understand how important it is that your mind is protected. Now, to begin this study, we want to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 3 is the verse we want, but let's begin with verse 1. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now, who do you suppose that is? Well, that's the devil. The course of this world is a course that is being run. It is a path that the world is on that is contrary to God, and it is heading to absolute apostasy, heading to exalting the Antichrist, heading to destruction by the Lord Jesus Christ before he sets up his kingdom, and eventually the destruction by fire. That's the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air, he is absolutely opposed to God in every capacity. So now, verse 3 says, among whom also we all had our conversation. And that's not just the thing you're talking about. Your conversation in the Bible is your behavior. It's what you say and what you do. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Do you understand? Before you were saved, when you were a lost person, what was going on is that you were doing things, and you were doing things in accordance with the course of this world. You were heading in a direction that was away from God. You were heading in a direction that was contrary to the Lord, and it was in a way that was going the direction of the spirit of the power of the air, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. This has been going on since Paul wrote this letter, before really, but in other words, for 2,000 years this thing's been going on like this. And you see, the devil understands that he has to control that mind of a lost person, to get that mind in a place where it's contrary to the Lord. That's why the Bible says, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. When a person chooses not to believe the word of God and hears the gospel, the devil blinds that mind. Why? Because he doesn't want the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who's the image of God, to shine unto him. And what happens to the unbelieving is their mind and conscience is defiled. Many have been turned over to what the Bible calls a reprobate mind. And you don't see, when a person is lost and that's what's happened, the challenge has been for his mind. That's the challenge of his mind on the internet, in school, in Hollywood, in the classroom, at home, on movies. It's just perennial. Because the Lord knows, and so does the devil, that that mind and that heart are so closely connected. The Lord had said things like this concerning what it was like here in the earth before the destruction by the flood. The imagination, there's the mind, the imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You see that? So the devil knows that, and the condition of a lost person is his mind is messed up about the things of the Lord. He can't reason clearly about these matters. Now, when he believes the word of God, and he believes that in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he repents of that sin and turns to the Lord Jesus Christ, he's saved. And you know what happens to a man when he gets saved? Well, 2 Timothy 1:7. In 2 Timothy 1:7, the Bible says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, watch it, and of a sound mind. So, depending on how far down that mind was affected in sin, and how much it was defiled by sin, and how much it had been reprobated by sin, and blinded by the devil, the Lord may have a tremendous amount of work to do on a person's mind in order to make it sound. I'm reminded of that man that was in the Gadarenes, who was possessed with legion, lots of devils. And when the Lord saved him, the Bible says he was sitting and clothed and in his right mind. The Lord knows that he has to do something to your mind. He has to do something to my mind when we get saved to straighten it out. Now, one of the beauties of getting saved is, according to 1 Corinthians 2:16, when you get saved, the Bible says you've got the mind of Christ. He gives you a mind with which to think that is not like the mind you had when you got saved. And he begins to straighten out the mind. Now, here's the problem. When you're lost and you get saved, do you think the devil just relinquishes control and says, oh, phooey, the Lord won another one? Well, too bad. No, it's not like that at all. He's a sore loser. And so when he has been messing with your mind before you get saved, and then you get saved, and now you've got the mind of Christ, you know what he's going to do? He's going to try to mess with your mind again. There's a problem that happens right after people get saved, and that problem is that somebody who is corrupt is going to come along and try to mess with your mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. The Bible says, but I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You know, when your computer crashes and you take it into the shop to have it fixed, and they say, well, your hard drive was corrupted. You know what's happened? Some information got in there that wasn't supposed to be in there, and it fouled up the way that your computer worked. Your hard drive was corrupted. In the same way, what the devil does is he tries to put something in your mind after you get saved to corrupt you from the simplicity that is in Christ. And what he'll do is he'll use men of corrupt minds to do it. They're identified in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 5. When they don't believe the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, when they don't follow his doctrine, then they are men of perverse disputings, men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. And I'll tell you this, I believe, that there are more men and women in pulpits today who have corrupt minds and are corrupting the word of God. Paul said, we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. They corrupt the word of God, and what they're trying to do is corrupt you from the simplicities that is in Christ. And I'll tell you, they're a dime a dozen. We've noticed this after people get saved. Along will come a Jehovah's Witness. I mean, within 2 days, or a Mormon, or somebody else from an old church they used to be in, to try to get them back in the clutches. And if you didn't believe there was a devil, you would, after you've seen how many times that has happened to people. And you know what he's trying to do? He's trying to get control of the mind again by corrupting the words of God, by corrupting the simplicity that's in Christ. Now, you were lost, and the mind was messed up. You got saved, now God's given you a sound mind. Well, is that it? Is that it, or does God expect something to happen? Well, no, God expects something to happen, and we're going to talk about that for the rest of this broadcast, Lord willing. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says this, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, But be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. By the renewing of your mind. So, when you get saved, God has given you a sound mind. God has given you the mind of Christ, but He's got to renew your mind. You've got to start thinking with a sound mind. You've got to start thinking with the mind of Christ, and you have to let go of that mind, that carnal mind, that mind of flesh with which you were thinking before. And the question is, how does this happen? How does this happen? Well, I'll tell you something. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. It's a daily work. 2 Corinthians 4:16. It is a daily work. It's not the kind of thing that you can deal with once in a while. If you ever see a person who got saved, and they'll tell you later, you know, 2 or 3 years after they get saved, 5 years after they got saved, 20 years after they got saved, yeah, I'm saved, and you're like, wow, I didn't know that. I didn't see any change in your life. You know what the problem is? They were not transformed by the renewing of their mind. They were conformed to this world. That's what the problem was. And you say, well, I want to be transformed. Okay, well, you got to recognize it is a daily work. 2 Corinthians 4:16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man, watch it, is renewed day by day. So the things we're going to talk about, God gives you to do on a daily basis to change your mind, to renew your mind. All right? Here's the first thing. You've got to come to Him with a humble mind. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. When you get saved, you have got to yield your mind to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have got to serve Him and humble yourself. Listen, Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. So you look, first of all, you say, all right, my mind is going to be transformed, then what it has to happen is it has to be humbled before the Lord. I can remember hearing over and over and over again when we were in Bible college, humble mind, believing heart. Humble mind, believing heart. So if you will humble yourself, if you will let the mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, if you will let that sound mind, that mind of Christ that He's given you, control you and humble you, then God can teach you something. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. That's what Paul said in Colossians chapter 3. Humbleness of mind. Now, how is he going on a daily basis? How is he going to transform this mind? First of all, you're going to humble that mind before Him, yield it to the Lord Jesus Christ, and let Him go to work on it. All right, how's he going to do it? Romans chapter 7, Romans chapter 7, verse 25. He's going to do it with the Bible. Romans chapter 7, verse 25. Now, Romans chapter 7, that's one of those famous passages of Scripture we like to go to when we want to excuse sin in our lives. And we say, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Now, if I do that, I would not. It's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So the guy keeps on sinning the same old stuff all the way till he goes to the judgment seat of Christ and excuses himself because that bad old flesh just wouldn't let him do any better than that. Well, I know you're not going to correct the flesh. The best thing that can happen to it is it needs to die. Paul said, I die daily. But it's no excuse for you to just go on, keep on placating the flesh and letting it have its way all the time. It's got to be cleaned up. You've got to change your mind about some things. And when you change your mind about some things, you're going to change what you do. And you say, how is that? Romans chapter 7, verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. All right, so my flesh is going to serve the law of sin. And if I, like Paul, die daily, then that's going to put that flesh down. But listen, there's a positive side too. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. Why would you do that? Because Romans 7:12 says the law is holy. and the commandment holy and just and good. Verse 14 of Romans 7 says, we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. So you got to get in your Bible. That's where the law of God is. In thy law do I meditate day and night, the psalmist says. So what is that? Well, you get in that Bible. You say, well, the law was in the Old Testament. All right. You're going to learn a lot of things reading the Old Testament. The Bible says in Romans 15, 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, there's your law, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Lord's going to go to work on your mind in the Bible when you serve with your mind the law of God. So when you came to the Lord as a lost man, your mind was messed up. You got saved, He gave you a sound mind, gave you the mind of Christ. And if you got by and were not corrupted by somebody that corrupted you from the simplicity that's in Christ, and you yielded your mind humbly to the Lord God, He begins a renewing process of your mind when you read the Bible. And not only read it, but let what you're reading change your life. When you yield to it and allow it to bear fruit in your life, you say, you know, I've tried to read that Bible and I just can't understand it. Let me tell you something. Go get you a King James Bible. I'm talking about an authorized version of the Bible, not the modern stuff. Get you a King James Bible. And on your smartphone, download the app for Scorby, S-C-O-U-R-B-Y, reading the King James Bible. Cost you $20. Be the best $20 you ever spend. And you sit down, you get Genesis, you turn that Scorby on, let him read that for you as your eyes go across the page, and you just read every day. Just read. And you know what the Lord will do? It'll begin to change your mind. You won't understand a lot of what you're reading right at first. Doesn't make any difference. He's transforming your mind and allowing you with a sound mind and the mind of Christ to be able to start understanding it. And in time, you're going to start getting some things figured out. Remember, this is a daily transformation. And remember, it is a lifetime of transforming. You don't just get to a place where you've read it once and you've got it. You know what the great failure of Christians is today, particularly young Christians? They're not reading the Bible. You say, how do you know that? Because I've asked them. I'm talking about people that have been raised in church. Now get you a Bible, get you a King James Bible, get Scorby on your smartphone, and sit down and start reading that Bible and serving with your mind the law of God. And you know what it'll do? It'll transform your mind. Now go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and notice this. Verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, verse 23 is nestled in verse 22 all the way down to verse 32. You know what he's telling you in be renewed in the spirit of your mind? You got to put off the old things and put on the new things. Verse 22 of Ephesians 4 says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. See, it's the new man that's righteous. It's the new man that's truly holy. Not you trying to make the old man behave. Now, when that happens, guess what? You're no longer lying. You're speaking the truth in verse 25. You're no longer losing your cool in verse 26. You can control your anger and you're not sinning. You're not giving place to the devil. You're cutting off his avenues into your life. You're not stealing anymore. You're working. You got enough money to not only pay your bills, but others as well. Your mouth changes. No corrupt communication is coming out of your mouth. And what does he say in verse 30? Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Why would he say, grieve not the Spirit of God? Because it's the Spirit of God that is doing that renewal process in your mind. Titus 3:5 says, he says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's why he says, in the spirit of your mind. It involves putting off the old man, putting on the new man, and it starts in the mind and comes out in your action. In other words, when you're a doer of the word and not hearers only, then what happens is God can go to work on you through the Spirit of God and allow you to change your behavior. It's the only way that it will ever happen and be a permanent change. You are transformed by the renewing of your mind when you humble that mind and then get in the Bible and follow what the Spirit of God is teaching you when you don't grieve the Spirit. And then He'll get down into your heart and all the bitterness goes, the anger goes, the evil speaking goes. You're kind one to another. You're forgiving one another. And I mean, you're growing now. It's a spiritual thing. Now be careful, because right here is a bad junction. He says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So you got to be real careful right here that you let that carnal mind go. He said, put that thing off and put on that new man. There are too many people that are walking with the carnal mind active and the spiritual mind active. And you know what the Bible says? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You can't be thinking carnally and thinking spiritually without getting yourself in trouble. And that's a problem area. You got to let that carnal mind die. Now, how else are you going to be transformed? You're going to be transformed when you humble your mind, get in that Bible, let the Spirit of God renew you on a daily basis. And then this, you get in a good church. You get in a good church. Look in Romans chapter 15, verse 6. That you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, watch it, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. There are so many people who say, oh, well, I just can live my life outside of church. It doesn't make a difference to me whether I go to church or not. It makes all the difference in the world. Because God intends for you with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. In other words, you're strengthened, you're renewed in your mind when you get into a good church where you're like-minded. And I mean, they're like-minded about the words of Jesus Christ. They're like-minded about the words of God and the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't mean like-minded about rock and roll music and worldly ideas. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:10, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment. You know, there is a devil. There is a devil. And you know what he does to Christians? He gets you split off where you just do your little old thing at home and you don't go to church. You know why? Because he knows that your mind will be stronger and will be renewed if you're in good preaching and good teaching. And he knows if he can split you off of that, then he can have influence over your mind and keep you stunted in your growth and in your change of life. That's right. So a good church. How else is your mind transformed? Transformed by prayer. By prayer. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How is that? Verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. How is that? By prayer. And what happens when you pray? The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and what? Your minds through Christ Jesus. Isaiah says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, for he trusteth in thee. Do you understand? You're living in a time right now where you can easily be shaken in mind, Paul says. Soon shaken in mind or troubled. 2 Thessalonians 2:2 is where he said that. Because there's so much bad news, there's so much fear, there's stock market this and that, and you know, European Union this and that, and natural disasters this and that, and the economy and your health and your family and your job and the whole thing can really get you shaken. And listen, with a sound mind, God doesn't want you shaken, because when your mind is shaken and you are working in a spirit of fear, you panic and make bad decisions. But when you can think clearly and your mind is ruled and controlled and comforted by the peace which passeth all understanding because you trust in the Lord, you know what? You're going to make good decisions. And so listen. After you got saved, God gave you a change of mind. He gave you a sound mind. He gave you the mind of Christ. And I know there are men that have come along with another Jesus and another spirit, another gospel, trying to corrupt that mind. Forget that nonsense. You be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Humble that mind so that the mind that was in Christ is the mind that is in you. Get in that Bible and serve the law of God. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Let the Spirit of God go to work on you and change you. Change after the Bible gets in you, change what's happening on the outside of you. And don't get crossed up with a carnal mind. Get in a really good Bible preaching, Bible teaching, Bible believing church where you can be of one mind for those that are striving together for the faith of the gospel, and get into some good prayer where the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Keep your mind stayed on the Lord. And whatever you do, don't faint in this race. Don't give it up. Hebrews 12:3 says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds." Don't faint in your minds. Lest you say, "I don't think this Bible is working." It's working. "Well, I just don't see the Spirit of God doing much in my life." He's doing something in your life. "Well, I just seem to have all kind of battle with that carnal mind." Well, that carnal mind's still pretty powerful. It's the one you thought with for the first 40 years of your life, and now you're trying to grow up in a spiritual mind. Give it some time. "Well, I just don't like that church." Or, "I'm really good in friends here, but nobody believes the Bible where I'm going." Listen, you leave that choice to God and quit worrying those things. But I just know you need to be under good preaching and teaching of the Word of God. And why don't you spend some time on your knees? Get in prayer. You say, "Well, we used to sing the song, 'Sweet Hour of Prayer.'" Who prays an hour? Everybody wants to do it in 5 minutes, microwave prayers, and go on to what they want to do. Don't do that. Get in there till the peace of God gets control of your mind and your heart. And I'll tell you what, you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that old carnal mind with which you thought before you got saved, that thing will start hushing up, which is exactly what it needs to do. May God bless you as you are transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.